Well, amen. What a blessing that was. Thank you for that. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, and I think we might want to ask ourselves this question tonight. Why do we have to have an election night? And why do we have to have officers in the church? And I think that we need to understand everything we do at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, we do out of biblical conviction, out of what the Bible teaches us, out of what Jesus Christ himself established for the New Testament church. And so here tonight, first of all, let's look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it's a very familiar passage of Scripture to most, have been in church for a very long period of time. If you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading verse 12 down to verse 18, because here we find that Jesus addresses the church at Corinth, and he's setting things straight in the church. He wants them to understand certain things, and he gives us insight into the body being the church. And so here we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's spiritual salvation. That's being baptized with the fire that John said that Christ would bring. And so that's the indwelling of the Spirit. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, very same Holy Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them. I've got that underlined in my Bible. I think you need to underline that or in your mind anyway. Every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. Yeah. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight. We thank you for the church. And God, how you want us to understand the church and how you would have us to relate it to our own physical bodies, having many parts to the bodies, many functions, but all together making one whole healthy body. And I pray tonight, God, that as we have assembled together in your name and knowing that you're here in the midst and we are preparing for election and understanding the positions that we have in the church, I just pray, God, that we would bow before you and open up our hearts and our minds to receive that which you have for us to better understand the church. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can I tell you, as we read this, and you could read the entire chapter, there's so much there, and he, again, relates the church body to the physical body and understanding that every part of this physical body would be likened to a member of every church, and the church being the body of Christ, Christ being the head. And praise the Lord, without the head, the body cannot function. Amen. If the head is on the body, it's the head that sends the signals through the brain that instructs and directs the whole body. Without that, you cannot have a living, functioning body. And so we find that Christ, concerning the church, he's the head of the church. And the body is under his authority, and we're looking to him, and he has the preeminence over the body. There's no doubt about that. So we study this, but tonight is talking about the body itself and understanding that every member has their place and work in Christ's body. Every one of them. Only God knows. There's churches, local New Testament churches, all around the world. And we are supporting many of those through our Faith Promise missions. And for the missionaries their sole job, if you will, the missions that they have, what they've been called to, is go to areas where there are no churches and win souls. And then as they win the souls, get these people together, establish a New Testament church where they can baptize them and then start discipling them and carrying on the very same things that we carry on here in this local New Testament church. The church itself is very same. Now, in different areas, we're reaching different people, but the church is the same. We have the very same head. And overall, no matter if it's Jews or Greeks or what the nationality would be, whatever it is around the world, but it's the very same body of Christ. And Jesus Christ is the same head. And the Holy Spirit is the same. The same Holy Spirit that dwells with believers in Africa is the same Holy Spirit that dwells within us here in America or at the Lighthouse. And because God has established it. And Jesus Christ, as he came some 2,000 years ago, and he established the New Testament church. And it's all part of the fulfillment of prophecy, all leading up to one day the rapture of the church, and then the rest of the prophecy leading up to the very end of the world and as we know it. And so every member has their place and work in Christ's body. Before we have a position in the church, we are first members. Before we have a position in the church, whatever that position is, before I am the pastor of the church, I am a member of the church. Before you are a deacon in the church, you're a member of the church. That means that God saved you and he worked in your life to somehow get things worked out to where he could plant you in this church. And once you were planted in this church, and he has given to each one of us certain spiritual gifts and certain abilities to be able to use them for the function that God has for you in this church. Amen. And so that's what we find here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's exactly what Paul is trying to help the church at Corinth and every other church to understand. This is what God has put together. This is God's plan. So God has planted each one of us here. Can I tell you, you need to know first and foremost that this is a church that God planted you in. When I visit, before I will present anybody for membership, I will have sat down with them and I will have discussed with them the qualifications for church membership. Qualifications are in the church constitution. They have to know that they are saved, and then they have to have biblical baptism. Okay, they have to, if they have not been baptized, and they can be baptized in this church, and as they're baptized in this church, then they automatically then becomes a member of this church. If they were baptized in another sister church, and we can talk to them about transferring their membership to this church, if for some reason they've been out of church for so long a period of time that no church would have record of them attending there, then we go on their testimony. We go on their statement of faith. If they tell me after I go over with them biblical salvation, they say, I'm saved. I go over with them biblical baptism, and they say, yes, we've been biblically baptized. Then I can tell them that we will accept your statement of faith based on what you have told me about your salvation and baptism. In order for them to be members of the church, they have to be candidates. A proper candidate is somebody who's been saved and baptized. And so when they come up, I've already talked to them, but when they come up, I'll ask them this one question. Do you know for sure this is where God has planted you? There's no other reason to join a church than to know it's where God has sent me, it's where God has planted me. Because if God planted you here, then you will not leave this church outside of God uprooting you to take you and move you somewhere else. That means that you'll go ahead and work through some of those problems with other church members. That means that you'll go ahead and work through some of the problems you might have with the pastor. That means that you're looking to work. Why? Because they're all men. I'm looking to be given account to God one day. And if God planted you here, he has a purpose for you being here. Don't let anybody or any spirit lead you away. Amen. So before they're ever presented to you, I've asked them, you prayed about it, you sought the will of God, and you know this is where God has sent you to make you a part of this local called out assembly. And if they will not answer by the affirmative saying, yes, I know that, I will not present them for church membership. So that means that every member of this church ought to know that God has worked out everything in your life to this particular point in life, and God has you here at this Lighthouse Baptist Church. Now, all of us come from different directions, amen? And it's only God in His great wisdom. God sees everything. God is aware of everything always. He's aware of your life. He's aware of how your life and what He does in your life will impact not only this church, but how it will eventually impact others around the world and eternity, because God has His eyes on the rest of the world and eternity, and only He knows how that your life can impact all of the others, and it will. It's a body of Christ. It might be that you're going to come and be a part of this church, and some of your children, one of your children, might be called to mission, as we've had others from this church do that very same thing. And so by being called to missions, now we are supporting them from this church on some other nation, and it's impacted the world. Why? Because they came here on the will of God. God allowed them to meet their spouses here concerning the will of God. And then from this place, God has taken them and moved them around the world. So it very much is very important that we understand that we are in God's will concerning our church membership. Every member, it starts right here. Every member, God, the Bible says, but God has set the members, every one of them, in the body. In every local New Testament church, which is the body of Christ, as it hath pleased Him. You ought to have a smile on your face when you come for church membership, because I'm pleasing God, and God is pleased with me joining this church. Amen. That's right. God does that. And so understanding the reason I talk to people that way, that's the reason we watch over our membership and make sure that those that we present to you are qualified members, are qualified to be presented for membership. Amen. Because God wants us to understand every member. Because when you get people in the church that do not understand that and are possibly not saved, maybe even wolves in sheep's clothing, or have a different type of doctrine, then it's not going to help the church to accomplish what the church is to accomplish. It will hinder the church. And so we do have to be aware of church membership. I think church membership is very important. And so, but every member needs to know that you have been planted here by God, and then you need to know that I am serving God in the position that He wants me to serve Him. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God has called me to be the pastor of this church. And now it's a little different because God used my wife and I to start this church 31 years ago. Amen. There was not a Lighthouse Baptist Church before then. Amen. But we started the church. And it has always been, for some 31 years now, God's will for us for me to pastor this church. I have never had a doubt as far as God's call upon my life and where God has planted me. Over the 31 years, I have had opportunities. I have had others to open doors, to possibly go somewhere else. But I've never had a desire to seek to go anywhere else. Amen. I know the first time I went on an extended mission trip and I come back and my heart was so burdened because of the mission field that I had been on. And the church was all upset. The pastor's called to missions. He's going. He's leaving. And I was not called to missions, but it helped me to have a greater burden for the mission field. There's a difference between a burden and a call, amen? If you're going to the mission field, you better have more than just a burden for the mission field. You better have a call of God upon your life. But if God's call on your life, you will not be satisfied anywhere else except for where God's called you. Amen. And so every other member needs to know, whatever you're doing in this church, whatever, however you're serving God, however you're using your gifts and abilities, listen, you need to know that God not only planted me here, I am doing exactly what God wants me to do in His church. Amen. Amen. Every member needs to know that. And then a few other things. In order for us to function properly as the New Testament church, in order for this body, as your physical body, to function properly, there's things that you have to do. You have to take care of your physical body, amen? And some have more problems than others, so you have to take certain medications or whatever, but you're looking over and you have to care for the body. If you don't get the right kind of rest, if you don't get the right kind of nutrients, if you don't get the right kind of exercise, listen to me, as your physical body, you're not going to be able to continue to accomplish things that you want to do. If the church is not aware of certain things, then we will not be able to function properly. First of all, in order to function properly, you have to have a congregation that believes they are where God planted them. Very important. The second thing that I want to present to you that every functioning body of Christ has to have, and that's Ephesians in chapter 4, and we related some of this to last Sunday night in our Bible character study, but Ephesians in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says this: I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now, I believe that that could also be talking about whatever job you have or whatever, but the vocation that he's talking about here, the main vocation is the vocation God's called you to. What service has God called you to? Everyone has a vocation, if you will, or a service in his church. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. If you don't have those things, you will not be able to do what he tells us to do in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Everyone, every member of this Lighthouse Baptist Church benefits from every other person endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because the Spirit is so much better. And you not have to worry about, now wait a minute, can I shake this person's hands without offending this person? Can I sit on this side of the auditorium without offending somebody on that side of the auditorium? I mean, it's ridiculous how some people go to church. How in the world can you attend a church when there's cliques everywhere and everybody's against this person, it's crazy. Listen to me. We want to be able to come to church to do what we are supposed to do, and that is to worship God and to grow in our Christian faith and encourage one another to go out and to be the lights of the world, the salt of the earth. Amen. We don't need the cliques. We don't need the divisions. We don't need all the other problems that hinder the working of the Spirit of God. Don't need that. We don't want that. No member ought to have a desire for that. And if you don't have a desire for that, then you might do this: with all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Have a love for every other church member. And let love cover some of those issues that too many get upset over. Amen. In the big picture of things, they are so minute. And it's not going to matter one way or the other when we get to heaven. Amen. Oh, how we need to take the high road. How we need to understand the importance of the local New Testament church and my membership and my testimony in the church. I ought to have a testimony that I'm endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The church is going to be all that the church can be. In order to function properly, you need to know that, first of all, that you're where God's planted you. That means that everyone else that God planted here is made them your brothers and your sisters. I've had to remind myself about that with my own flesh and blood brothers and sisters. Amen. I've had a couple that knew more about me than I knew about myself, evidently. I would say one that, no, you don't really like that. I do like that. No, you don't like that. No. Everybody, if you've got any very large family, you have at least one that thinks they know more about you than you know about yourself. And you understand that, and so you realize that I'm not going to be able to get real close to this one. But I still love her because she's my sister. Or I still love him because he's my brother. Amen? But we don't see eye to eye. But it's still my brother. I still have a great love for him, and I'll do anything I can for him. I'm just not going to fellowship with him too much. I'm not going to be able to go out and spend a lot of close family time together. Amen? If we was out fishing together, one of us would drown. Amen. We have that. We have that. Can I tell you, the church? If you're planted here, look around. God says, everyone around you who's a member of this church, it's your brother and sister. Do we have the right kind of thinking concerning membership of the church? Yes, we're different. And we come from a lot of different backgrounds. But we're still the member of the same body. I didn't determine that. Christ determined that. It's His body. It's His church. Wow. Unity. We must have it. Not only that, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I got to hurry because we got an election to get to here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and verse 13. Critically important. Critically important for the function of the church. Verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. I won't go there for the sake of time, but in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 and verse 13, our sister verses to this passage of Scripture is talking about the leadership that God has planted in the church. They have a work to do. And the body of Christ needs to esteem the leadership of the church. If you cannot esteem the leadership of the church, I hate to say it, but you're in the wrong church. You cannot be fed by someone you cannot respect. To esteem them is to respect them. To esteem them is to give them honor, understanding God put them in that position. And if it's for the preacher, it's to feed the flock of God which is among you. That means that as God planted you here, He planted me here as a pastor to preach the Word of God. And as I preach the Word of God, you have to be open to the Holy Spirit of God using the preaching of the Word to speak to your heart. God's Spirit bearing witness with your spirit via the preaching of the Word. If you do not have respect for that preacher, listen to me, you can't be fed, spiritually fed by somebody that you cannot esteem or respect. Can't do it. The whole time he's preaching, you're thinking, well, you ought to live what you preach. You ought to do this differently. You ought to do that differently. You shouldn't have done this, and you shouldn't. And throughout the whole message. Message is over, and you've just been talking to yourself the whole time. And you didn't receive anything that God had for you. For the body to function properly, the membership has to have esteem for that which God has placed in leadership. It's important. It has to happen in order for the function for the body to function properly. And then, of course, over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Now this concerning the collection for the saints, that's God's children. Can I tell you, God does not intend for the visitors to finance this church. God's plan is not to finance the church through the government or through bake sales. But concerning the collection for the saints, the believers, I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. It's for all churches of the New Testament. Upon the first day of the week. No longer Saturday. Amen. First day of the week is Sunday. Resurrection day is Sunday. Let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. We must assemble and give the tithes and the offerings according to God's design. If you knew God planted you here, then you're looking to him, and God is going to be the one that tells you exactly what he wants you to do when it comes to tithes and offerings. Church cannot function properly unless the membership of the church are faithful to assemble. If you don't come, we don't have services. Amen. I mean, I can come and preach to the paid staff, but that's not going to accomplish what the Lord wants. But no, you come because you're where God wants you to be. You understand God's plan and his will for your life. And you come and you want to give because you understand it's God's church and you understand it's God's plan for supporting the church. And you can't outgive God as long as you're giving according to what God requires you to give. And we assemble ourselves together. What a blessing. In order to function properly. And then the last thing that I want to go over with you tonight, the church must have God's order. In order for it to function and accomplish what God wants it to accomplish, we have to have God's order. And Titus in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, I'm running out of time, so don't turn there. But write it down and read it later. But Paul is telling Timothy, Titus, to go into the areas and establish the churches and go into those and put the pastors, help the churches to establish the leadership of the churches, put pastors, elders in every church. For there to be order, there must be positions of responsibility and a chain of authority. Get a hold of that. I want to say that again because I want you to understand this. For there to be order, there must be positions of a responsibility and a chain of authority. If no one has a responsibility of preparing the music, we're not going to have the kind of music program we have at this church. If there's nobody that cleans the church, you're not going to want to go into the bathrooms of this church. If there's nobody that does whatever it might be that needs to be done, and there's multitudes of things that have to be done to be able to have the kind of services we have, but if nobody has a position to get those things done, we cannot have the type of services that we have. Nobody runs the buses, we don't bring in bus children. No one teaches Sunday school, we don't have Sunday school classes. If no one is in the nursery, then we have a lot of crying babies in this auditorium. And on and on, I could go on and on and on. So listen, for there to be order, there must be positions of responsibility and a chain of authority. The chain of authority is God. He's created all things. It's his design. Humanity is God's design. This earth is God's design. This body is God's design. His church is God's design. God gave us his word, which was and is Jesus Christ. He represents the very words of God, because now we look back in this New Testament church age, we have Jesus Christ is the one through his words established the New Testament, established the New Testament church, and what is to be preached and what is to be taught and how we are to conduct ourselves, all the things there. So the authority is God, represented by his son, Jesus Christ, who is representative of this Bible right here. This is what we have for us today. Before he left, he gave us completion of the revelations of God. He established his church for this New Testament church age. We have it written down. So we have then his church. Not just a church that stands upon his word, that stands upon God. Amen. Amen? So his authority must have it, order of authority, God, his word, the church, and the positions that he has established for his church. Outside the church, we don't have a position of a pastor. Outside of God establishing the church, we don't have a position of a deacon, which is not a position of authority, which is a position of helping the authority. Amen? Assisting the pastors, which have not that have the authority in themselves. The pastors are here to represent the church. which represents the Word, which represents a creator God. And so the ultimate authority is God. And everyone else is following that which He has given to us that represents Him. As a pastor, we have qualifications. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 12 gives the qualifications of the pastor and the deacon. How important they are. God says if you don't meet those qualifications, you can't have that position. Simple as that. Unless you do away with His authority and you establish your own authority. You can call it a church. You can even call it a Baptist church. But if it does not, if it's not based upon the authority of God through the Word, through Christ, amen, through the Bible that we have before us, it's not truly a His church. It's not a true church. So we have the positions that God has established. The deacons to assist the pastors and the pastors to represent the very words of God, to represent the church that represents the Word that represents God. All other positions are found in Romans in chapter 16, wherein Paul was dealing with the churches. They were helpers in the churches. Now, with that in mind, helpers in the churches, there was a lot of different ones that was helping Paul to establish what he did. Some churches have trustees, some do not. Is trustees a biblical position? It's a biblical position in this rite. They're helpers. Is a church treasurer a biblical position? It's a biblical position in this rite. They're helpers. Church secretaries, mission secretaries, whatever other type of office we might have, their biblical office is this: helpers. Only two biblical positions with biblical qualifications is a pastor and a deacon. That's for His New Testament church. The rest of them are helpers to accomplish what God has the church here to accomplish. And this is what we have to have if we are going to be able to accomplish, function properly, and accomplish all that God wants us to have, and to accomplish all that He has us here to accomplish. That's why we have election of officers, all right? Let's pray, and we're going to get into elections. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. I pray, God, that we would each and every one understand that this is our church. This is where You have planted us. And we want to, I pray that each one would want to be able to be all that You want them to be in the church, to be able to see the church function properly and accomplish all that You have us here to accomplish. Now bless in the remainder of this service here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.